Chicken. Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? What, who's there? What's going on?
It's time to enter the doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I've ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
Tuesday in the doghouse. Every Tuesday, we share with you one of the great traditions in sport, and today is no different. Today's tradition is me sitting in this chair that I'm sitting in front of, in this studio, which I did from March of 2004 till July of 2007. But I was the first one to ever sit on this side of the table. That's right, because before I got here, the Doug Franzes and the Matt Peralts and the Dan Schwartzmans of the world all ran their own board and answered their own phone calls while doing the show. I mean, what a cluster that was. And I don't even know who my first board op was. I mean, I know I had John McGough, right? I had John Boy doing Magoo. Then I had Swede. Was it John Mounts? I'm not sure who it was. But I got to say this. This studio looks fantastic. I mean, it has never looked better than it does now. Although, I made a critical error, which has now left us in a very odd situation. I got to be honest with you. I didn't even think about bringing my headphones. Didn't even consider it. But T-Mac is over here working furiously, trying to figure out what we got to do to get me hooked up with some cans. Do we have cans? We got cans. And I can't wait to ask him, as I think I'm taking his cans. I mean, these are really nice cans. They're very Oklahoma-esque with this crimson color. I say Oklahoma-esque because he's got an Oklahoma shirt on. But I also have a kind of a maroonish shirt on. Burgundy. Maybe more burgundy. It's weird, man. They feel weird. I'll have to ask him what that was all about. Luckily, though, I mean, that's the way this kid is. I mean, luckily he's prepared over there. He has multiple cans. I think these must be his cans is what I'm thinking. These are the cans you wear every day. And then now he's got like the backup scrappy 1999 Walmart special Sonys with the duct tape holding the ear flaps on. Cream's in the studio. He's got his like earbud things on. It's crazy. All right, lot to get. Man, I'll tell you what. This place does look neat. We'll get into that in a minute. Here in the studio, I have not been in this studio, I think, once in the last 10 years. I was actually in this studio because I do the show from the Big Dog Production Studios. So, look at this already. Already. This ought to be interesting. Keith on a tractor says, the Big Dog Production Studios sounds a lot better than that one. Uh-oh, T-Mac. I don't know, man. Excuse me. I'm not sure. We'll find out. All right, we got a lot to get into today. We're going to get the phone lines open for you as well. I got to figure out how to make it. Is that, and that's cranked up too? I mean, I can. Oh, can you pick me up there? Pick me up on your. Oh, there you go. A little bit more. There you go. Perfect. You got to remember, I'm half deaf. I mean, because I'm a guy who, I mean, I grew up around heavy equipment. My father is a contractor. Of course, he's a contractor. And I grew up around heavy equipment. And then from there, I went into coaching. So I had headphones on for 11 years as a coach. And then went into radio. So I've had headphones on for 20 years. My ears are shot, man. You got to crank me up. All right. Flying a bit under the radar yesterday was a Supreme Court ruling on the ability to trademark an offensive name. The case involved a band called The Slants, but obviously it impacted the Redskins as well. There's a lot to unpack here, and I think I need to sort through it since there is a ton of misinformation out there as well. And on that same path, there are the recent comments and reactions and retractions from a couple of baseball analysts regarding foreign players needing to learn the language in the U.S. Now, yesterday we kicked off our Countdown to Hoover segments. Now just 7 shows left for me before media days. Our first special guest was Phil Steele. We're giving you a special guest outside of our normal rotation of guests. We're giving you a special guest each and every day with the shows leading up to SEC Media Days. Now, if you're saying, Dog, what are you talking about 7 days to SEC Media Days? It starts July 10th. Well, I'm going to be off for a week. I got a week, my 1 week vacation coming up next week. And then we're off on Monday and Tuesday. So I kind of looped it into that. So I have a nice, you know, decent length vacation. And then I'll be back for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday when Cole will be off. And then it's July 10th. So there's 4 shows left this week. And then there's 3 shows. Hey, there's a guy cutting the grass out there. See, this is very distracting to me because I'm, look, there's a squirrel guy. You know what I mean? So this is going to be very weird. Been a while since I, you know, bumped around with other dudes in the studio and stuff like that. In any event, so yesterday our first special guest was Phil Steele. And he was on very late in the show. And he was so good. I felt that we needed to replay that for you first hour warriors. So we have that queued up. Phil Steele from late in the show yesterday. We get you started with that. At the top of the 3, Kevin Rogers from VegasInsider.com joins us for some hardball talk. Then, today's Countdown to Hoover special guest, David Moulton from SiriusXM Radio and the SEC on CBS. He is Gary Danielson's caddy. He's the guy that's standing next to Gary Danielson during every game, handing him notes. And he does his own show as well. He's a sports writer, does his own show, and has been working with the SEC on CBS crew for some 6, 8, 9 years now anyway. I don't know if it's that long or not. I may be lying, but I'll check that out. At the top of the 4, Greg Wyshynski from the Puck Daddy blog is in with this NHL expansion draft coming up tomorrow in Vegas. He'll be followed by Brent Sobolewski with some solid NFL talk. Now, we know what's going on with the NBA and all of the conversation about the NBA draft, which is Thursday. And tomorrow, we will have that covered exclusively. We'll be that's not all we're going to do tomorrow. I'm just saying we'll be talking to Bo Estes. We'll be talking to Eitan Shander from the Fanatic in Philadelphia. They have the number 1 pick. So we've been talking about that stuff, and we'll get into that decent amount tomorrow. If you got an idea what you want to contribute to the show, we invite you to get in toll-free, 866-485-WUMP, 866-485-9867. We also have the entire digital doghouse for you as well. That consists of our Twitter feed, at Tom Abraham Show. Throw us a follow there if you'd like. Facebook fan page. Throw us a like at Facebook.com/ Tom Abraham Show. Then there's the text window, 7329-TA-SHOW, 732-982-7469. Man, this mic picks up everything. Doesn't it? Does it pick up everything? Does it pick up when I do that? See, I'm a tapper. I'm a paper guy. I do this stuff. I didn't bring my mic condom either. So I'm sharing a mic. This is unsafe radio. I'm sharing a mic with Cole. This is Cole's mic. And I'm using his mic. This is unsafe radio. I didn't bring my little mic condom thing. It goes over the mic, stops the popping. Pop, pop, pop. Hear it? The popping? We got popping going on. Where was I? Oh, you can follow the Ump on Twitter, at Ump Sports. Check out our website, umpsports.com. And Facebook.com/ Ump Sports. Cat behind the curtain over there, playing the stacks of wax and the platters that matter. He's answering phones. He's pushing buttons. He's handing me his headphones. He's right here in our palatial Ump Studios, which are, I must say, man, never looked better. I'm not throwing shade at any of you guys that came before, but I got to tell you, man, nobody's been here longer than me. Never looked better in here. Where's the Alabama helmet? I see an Auburn helmet. I see Sparkman, Bob Jones. I see a mini helmet, a mini Alabama helmet over there. Where's the Alabama helmet? Here I am thinking of where the Alabama Crimson Tide Radio Network. There's no Alabama helmet in here. We'll have to get that taken care of. I know a guy who knows a guy. Part Italian. He's part Mexican. He's part mutt. His family calls him Antonio McBeth. To us, we just call him Tony Mac.
Chico, don't be discouraged. The man, he ain't so hard to understand.
Kiss my brown ass.
Do you know who I am?
Who in the blue hell are you?
I'm the producer of this show. If I didn't step up, you're nowhere. I put this thing together out of spit and polish.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
The guy's an intern.
You don't ever say that to me. Bullcrap.
All those of you that know Italians and like Italians, this is your day.
I don't care how many Dago, Guinea, Wop, Greaseball, Goombas come out of the woodwork.
You can act like a man. What's
you? You can't speak Italian just because you have a mustache.
How come there ain't no Puerto Ricans on Star Trek?
When you ask me those kind of questions, it really pisses me off.
I don't know how to say this, so I'm going to choose my words very carefully. I think you're a psycho.
Now, Tom. Hey, Tom.
Oh, hey, Tom. Oh, hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Oh, hey, Tom. Hey, Tom.
Tom, can you get me off the hook? For old time's sake.
You ask a question every week that I don't know anything about.
We love you.
Hey, 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 T-Mac, how you doing today?
Big Dog, I can't lie to you. Having lunch was great, but it didn't hit me until now just how just odd this is. I don't want to say weird because it's not a bad thing, but having you right here in front of me, weird. It's a different vibe, man.
No, it's weird, man. I mean, it's really, it's goofy. Everything is backwards. The computers are in the wrong spot for me. And I am such a... I'm such a creature of habit. It's really hard for me to adjust. So it's just all odd for me. And the other part of the deal is that I screwed up and didn't bring my headphones. So now everything in my ears sound totally different. I'm wearing these Oklahoma Sooner headphones of yours. Are these are your headphones, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of guy you are. Why didn't you give me those crappy headphones and you keep the good ones?
You play a soundbite often. I believe it's Bill Murray. You know, the one trait of a good producer is keep the talent.
I would listen. I would use the crappy headphones.
It's no big deal.
Comes as a surprise to some people, but I would use the crappy headphones. You should have saw this place back in the day, man. That's today. It's Tradition Tuesday. So the tradition is back in the day when I used to actually do my show from this studio here. It did not look as nice as this. It wasn't because of... But look, I don't know if this is Cole's influence or Arky's influence. I mean, what do you think? Because I know Arky had done some stuff to clean it up. Cole is pretty particular. Yeah. I see a lot of Cole influence. I mean, you know, I see Cole Kublick's Homewood Patriot banner from when he played high school football is hanging in here. I see an Auburn football over there. That's got to be an Auburn pitcher over there. I see the Alabama flags have moved over there so Cole doesn't have to see them. They used to be over there, so now they're over there. I see the helmet. What do they call those things?
Hover helmets.
Hover helmets. That was I know Cole, you know, got that deal done. And, you know, this deal is still up, which is good to sign. I see Tom on a stick is gone.
Yeah.
My head on a stick is gone.
Just as surprised as you. That was taken down in just the last couple days. It's been here. It's been on a long journey.
Yeah.
Who do you think influenced the American flag back there? I'm not sure. Got a big American flag.
I think we had that.
Yeah?
We've had an American flag around here for a while. That might have been Dale Jackson. There's a refrigerator here. That's clearly Arky's influence because he needs sustenance. Did you see Arky start to, like, tremble and shake when they didn't bring him the banana pudding? We went to Dreamland today. We had to go. I had to pay off my Dreamland bet at Dreamland, and I didn't get ribs. Everybody's like, you didn't get ribs? I had some of the sausage. I should have got another order of the sausage. I had some of the sausage that Cole ordered, you know, $13 app for the table.
Friends.
For his friends, yeah, sausage for his. But it was good. It was worth it. and you think you go to Dreamland, you're going to have ribs because ain't nothing like them nowhere. I heard that.
Cole said that one time,
didn't he? Think Cole says that, yeah. I think he was the one who invented that thing. I didn't know he talked that way, but he did. He said that ain't nothing like them nowhere. And I was thinking baby back ribs. I'm a baby back rib guy. I'm not a Memphis rib guy. I'm a baby back rib guy. So I was thinking that maybe I was going to go baby back ribs. And then, I saw the chicken fingers. I was going to go, I had some of the sausage. And I said, if I have those Memphis ribs, as good as they're going to be, if I have those kind of ribs, then it's going to be a hard time for me to talk for 4 hours afterwards. It would have been a problem for you guys, I think, in here. But you had the ribs. They were outstanding, weren't they?
Oh, they were fantastic. Oh, they were absolutely fantastic. I've never been there either, so that was a great first impression.
You had never been to Dreamland?
Never been to Dreamland. That was
how long have you lived in Alabama?
I actually lived out in Madison that way for about 4 years, and I never been to Dreamland. But there are so many barbecue places that were closer to my house.
But it's different because it's the ribs, but they're those spare rib type of ribs. I mean, it wasn't like the ribs where you pull the rib meat. You know, like Wolverine Dan will make these ribs, right? And you pull the rib meat. I'm sitting here using a mouse that doesn't even connect to my computer. I'm so messed up here, man. Are we still going to use the regular thing to communicate or what? How do you want to communicate with me? How are you going to tell me who's on the line? Should we use that? Can you use the regular thing or what?
We're going to. Yeah, I can G-chat.
I mean, why not? I mean, why don't we use our regular? Okay. So I'm shocked that Wolverine Dan isn't in there.
During the break, we'll go ahead and get on Mumble. We'll connect that
way. Yeah, we don't need to come here. I could go do a remote from upstairs. I'm going to go do a remote from Steve Smith's office. But the ribs, Wolverine Dan makes those kind of ribs where you just kind of like, you just lift the bones out and the bones just come out and you have just the rib meat type of thing. But these are a different, little bit different kind of rib, the rib at Dreamland. And you pick it up and you eat off it like a piece of chicken. And I know they're outstanding. I just wasn't down with it. If you're doing it, like Cole had a T-shirt, a pair of shorts on, he's done for the rest of the day. I would have the ribs like that. I would feel like I want to go take a shower before it, the show. And I obviously couldn't do that. But it was great. Yeah, it was neat. It was fun. It was, what was good? The food was great. But you know what was really cool? It was just hanging with you guys, breaking bread with you and Arky and Cole. Garrett came by. We pulled the table over for him.
That was pretty cool for him. To have him there was awesome.
Yeah.
What you're saying is awesome because I've never sat down with really any of you in an informal setting where we're just hanging out. It's usually other than Arky. So sitting there with you and Cole and even Garrett coming by, that was a lot of fun.
It was nice. It was nice just to hang. We should do that like once a month.
I'm down.
Without totally me paying. But we ought to do that once a month.
They even tried to hook you up and Cole shut you down.
Yeah, too. Cole, because it's his sponsor, the guy came over and he says, I'm supposed to take care of you guys. Cole's like, no. He's paying. No, that guy can pay over there. I'm like, really? I mean, if one of my guy comes over and he says, okay, we're going to hook you up or whatever, okay, fine. That's great. And if we'd have gone to one of my sponsors, I'd have paid. Maybe not.
I was more alarmed for you because you were sitting next to Arky, and like you said, Garrett and Cole ordered the banana pudding, and Arky just thought it was going to come out for everybody, and then Cole informed him,
you got to order it.
Yeah, you have to order your own. And Arky,
$4 worth of banana pudding. But Arky, when he found out that he wasn't getting pudding.
I'm telling you, it was terrifying.
It was, for a minute there, I thought maybe I'd slide over a little bit. I thought he started gnawing on my arm or something like that. I thought I may to push her back away from the table a little bit here. Arky's good. He's a good sport. He's a lot of fun. All right, so here's the tradition, and the listeners will tell you this. If anybody who's listening knows who my first producer was in this studio, please let me know. Because when I showed up here, I had always worked with a producer, and I'm like, okay, so who's my producer going to be? And they go, what do you mean producer? I go, the guy, that dude, Ray Dog. If I'd have known beforehand, I would have come by, Ray Doug. No. It wasn't a remote, okay? It wasn't a remote at Dreamland. It was just the crew getting together because I owed them chow. All right, now here's the deal. When I first came here, can you imagine this? Arky says he did the sports flood this way for a while. But you did a show, you ran your own board, and you answered the phone. I mean, I can't even imagine that. It makes me a bit of a diva, maybe.
Well, I mean, I don't want to knock on it because I'm actually taking over for that here shortly, but, I mean, it is a Saturday show. You don't get probably as many callers, so, I mean, it's not.
I just can't do those two things. I mean, to me, running a board is different than doing a show. When you're doing a show, you need to focus on doing a show, not pushing levers, starting commercial breaks, things like that. And even though I do the show from the Big Dog Production Studios, once we connect, I barely even turn my mic off. I leave it up to you to turn me off from where you are. So we connect, and that's it. Now, I play sound drops and do things like that, but I don't know. Maybe it's, I'm not trying to answer the phone or anything else. Now, when I was in Nashville, we had a crew. We had the 5-man crew in Nashville. But when I was in Nashville, they would put up on a call screen who was on the line, and then I would take the calls and hang up on the calls myself so I knew who to take. And I would have a key bank in front of me, and I had 10 lines. And I would just go, and it would have everybody on there. There'd be 7, 8, 9 guys on there. And I would just boom, boom, boom. Scary Carey. Scary Carey was one of my producers. Let me talk to him for a second. Scary Carey, welcome to the show. How are you?
No, someone on Twitter.
Oh, someone said Scary Carey.
Yeah, Cream's over
here. I thought you said Scary Carey was on the line.
Okay. Yeah, I should have specified.
Someone on the Twitter said Scary. Okay.
Kareem was holding up his computer trying to get someone's attention. Someone said, shout out. You should shout out Scary Carey.
Scary Carey is one of the guys that worked with me in here. Yeah. Everybody that worked with me in here. What did I do now, Carey? He was one of the guys that mixed the show. Scary Carey is one of the guys that mixed the show back in the day. I don't know if he was the first one or not. Just weird. This whole thing is weird, okay?
I can't wait to get to the point where...
I can't wait to get back to my studio, because I'm a creature of habit, man. That's good. You got a TV in here now. That's good. And it's on. We had that TV to make us feel like we had a TV, but it didn't turn on.
Oh, the big block up there?
The big block up there. Why don't somebody take that down? What's the point of that? Do you guys ever turn that on? Does it work?
The plug's sitting there hanging down from it.
Take it down. What's the point of it being there? TCU leading Texas A&M 4-0. All right, give me some Manoj, will you? Make me I don't even have your Manoj music. Dun, 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 dun. All right, give us some Manoj. What do you got?
All right, starting in 1967, Muhammad Ali was convicted of refusing the induction into the armed services.
Trying to kill Americans, Muhammad Ali. No, he did that. His refusal to go there, he emboldened the enemy and assisted in the killing of Americans, as far as I'm concerned, and a lot of other great Americans. When he did that, it's not like they were going to put him on the front lines. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, he was going to be out there recruiting and things like that, and they weren't going to put a gun in his hand or anything like that. But his draft dodging, although glorified in these days, really then killed young men and put them in a bad position over there because he emboldened our enemy when he said, "I got no quarrel with those Viet Cong." Go ahead.
In 1982, Pete Rose is the fifth to appear in 3,000 games next to Cobb, Musial, Aaron, and Yaz.
Wow. Okay.
In 1994, O.J. was arraigned on his murder of Nicole Simpson and Ronald Goldman.
Wow.
And in 2013, Miami beat San Antonio in the NBA Finals 4-3 after that Game 6 shot by Ray Allen.
What year was that?
2013.
Oh, that was the shot from the corner that Ray Allen made.
Yeah, and then in 1980...
That was over, man. San Antonio wins that deal. Ray Allen hits that shot from the corner.
And then in 1983, Darren Sproles was born, turning 34, the running back from K-State. And I didn't realize how versatile he was. He's only got a little over 3,000 career rushing yards.
You see what I'm saying? I can't even turn my head when I hit my head on a microphone.
It's his headphones, man.
I got these headphones on it that are huge. I'm going to turn my head bang, banging into stuff.
But Darren Sproles, he had just a little over 3,000 rushing yards, but he also had over 4,000 receiving yards in the NFL.
This mic boom is kind of droopy. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't – and the mic wants to just fall down.
You can't find your sweet spot. You can't sit it up.
Yeah. And I'm one that – I play with my mic a lot. I like to play with my mic boom, and I pick it up and I put it down, and I do that. And I'm afraid to do that in here because it's noisy, but it's droopy. They need to do something to stiffen this boom up a little bit. I think they got something for that. I think there's something you can take or something to make the boom stay up. I mean, this mic boom wants to keep falling down.
Well, the best part about these is they stretch pretty far. I can stretch you mine. We can switch. Yeah. No big deal. I mean, you're already using my headphones. You can have my mic, too.
No, I don't want your mic. Can you text? Wait a minute. I got to turn my phone off. Turn that off. Crazy. All right. Is there anything else we're supposed to do? I forget. I'm totally out of sorts here. All right. We did the thing. I don't have any music. We did the birthdays.
Usually, if this is about the time we take Wolverine Dan's call, but he didn't call
Wolverine in. Wolverine Dan didn't even call in. I keep reaching for this mouse here. Apparently goes with this computer over here, and I keep grabbing it to do something on my computer, my laptop, which is not going to, you know, that ain't going to happen. No, let's get a break in here. Hey, Cream, how you doing over there?
Doing good.
All right, good. Good looking kid. I mean, you know, he kind of looks like you a little bit. He looks like he could be your little brother. I mean, he does. He looks like he could be your little brother over there. He's your brother from an Alabama mother. I'm telling you. Let me ask you a question, by the way. You getting married with that beard, or what did McWife say about that?
Here's the deal on that.
McScruffy? What's the point?
I told her I want to see how I can grow it out because, you know, I want to grow it out and shape it and see how long I can actually get it. So I told her, let me grow it out till the beginning of October.
No.
And if it doesn't look the way she wants it to, then I'll trim it for the
wedding. Why do you want to grow it out? Why are the kids not wanting to grow their beard? Tight, man. I like a beard. I wear one often myself. Tighten it up. Trim it up nice and neat. Tight. Why would you want to have it long and scruffy looking? What are you, Abe Lincoln or something?
Eventually, I'm going to do that. I just kind of want to see if I can grow a big, thick beard.
Why? Why, what are you, Duck Dynasty or something? You're a good-looking kid, man. You're a good-looking
guy.
Now
you sound like my fiance.
I'm just... I'm telling you, man.
She specifically said no Duck Dynasty beard. So once it gets, if it ever can get that long.
Well, you know, all you get, tighten it up and trim it up nice and tight and you're good to go. I'm with you, McFiance. I'm with you. Tell him to get a McGillette and put tighten that thing up a little bit. All right. When we come back, it's our countdown to Hoover segments. We're double dipping today because Phil was so good yesterday to kick it off for us. I want you to hear him for those of you that missed it because it was very late in the show yesterday. We'll have that when we return. It's the Tom Abraham Show. It's Tradition Tuesday, and I'm in Athens, Alabama. Back with more right after this on 730-1039. Yep.
No time to get on the phone? Tweet the big dog at Tom Abraham Show. Here's Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Tom Abraham Show. And as you guys know, and I've talked about this for years now, we were just talking about SEC Media Days, how quick it's coming this year. July 10th, I mean, right after the holiday, boom, we'll be down there 3 days at Hoover. And when you go up and down Radio Row, still today, you see more Phil Steele college football annuals out there on the desks of every radio station than you do anything else. And if it is not the magazine version, it's the electronic version. And now Phil's still doing more and more with ESPN. You're going to see him more than ever on ESPN this upcoming year. And thankfully, he still has time to join the Tom Abraham Show once a year or twice or three times if I can grab him. And he joins us now. Phil, welcome back. How are you, man?
Hey, I am doing great, Tom. Always good to hear your voice, my friend.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us as we break things down. And, of course, this college football season starts out, like many others, with a lot of talk about the SEC and quarterbacks in the SEC. What's your overall assessment of the league in terms of it being, if you will, down a little last year and maybe bouncing back over the next couple of years, especially with quarterback play when we look at all of these quarterbacks that are coming into the league?
Yeah, I think that's the key, Tom, is because last year when you looked at the quarterback play of the SEC, there was a lot of inexperience and, you know, a lot of up and down play from the quarterbacks throughout the year. And I think that that's why the SEC actually fell off its perch of, you know, the number one toughest conference in football and by far each on a yearly basis. But you look at the quarterbacks this year, you know, guys like Jalen Hurts now has experience. Nick Fitzgerald's a guy from Mississippi State that ran the option in high school. Looked pretty good as a passing quarterback, very dangerous runner as well. Jarrett Stidham comes in from Auburn. I think he's going to be a big-time upgrade for their quarterback position. LSU might actually have a quarterback in Danny Etling. And you go on and on right down the list of all the SEC teams. I mean, Kyle Shermer's back, Drew Locke is back, Steven Johnson's back for Kentucky. Bentley is back for South Carolina after playing what should have been his junior year in high school. They've got Jacob Eason. I think Florida's situation looks pretty good this year with Felipe Franks, Luke Del Rio, and now Malik Zaire. So we've got a lot more veteran quarterback play in the SEC. I think we'll have improved QB play. And there's a lot of big-time recruits coming in. They're going to push for time. So I'm bullish on both.
Yeah, and the Malik Zaire to Florida thing kind of threw me for a loop a little bit because I'm sitting here thinking – You're bringing in a guy who couldn't beat out the guy who went 4-8 at Notre Dame, and you know Felipe Franks looked very, very good. He was a big time recruit. LSU thought they'd have him. Maybe their quarterback problems would have been solved if that happened. And Kyle Trask has looked good as well. It doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me if Felipe Franks is playing quarterback or if. Malik Zaire is playing quarterback at Florida. It seems like they're in that same kind of Luke Del Rio kind of rut that they've been in.
Well, I think Zaire, when you look at the Notre Dame, I mean, the guy that he couldn't be out there turned out to be an NFL draft pick in the first round or in the second or third round, DeShone Kizer. And, you know, Zaire's a guy that I think they're using as a security blanket and veteran. Let's say that Del Rio isn't able to come back this year or isn't 100% to have him there, because when you look at the rest of the supporting cast for Florida, they've got a much improved offensive line. They've got the best set of receivers I've seen there in years, and that's been surprisingly one of the weaknesses of Florida the last 3 to 4 to 5 years, been the receiver play. And then you look at the running backs, guys like Jordan Scarlett, Mark Thompson, P. Ryan. They've got a stable of running backs back there. The one piece missing is some quarterback experience, and Zaire's been in some big games and won some big games.
What do you think about the East then? Is it Georgia then Florida then Georgia, and is there anybody else that can push? Everybody was high on Tennessee last year. It looks like Tennessee may be a little bit worse this year than they were last year, but what do you make of the East?
Yeah, Tennessee's not as experienced as they were last year. If there's a team that's going to push the top two, I think it is going to be Tennessee. When I look at them, I do see 14 returning starters. They lose their quarterback, but they've got some talented guys in Quentin Dormady and Jared Garantino, and then they also bring in a Will McBride, a true freshman. They've got John Kelly back at running back. And remember last year, in the second part of the season, their defense was all banged up. They were giving up 45 points to A&M, 49 to Bama, 36 to Kentucky, right down the line, even 45 to Vanderbilt. I think the defense is going to have some bite this year, despite losing a couple of key players. They do draw LSU and Alabama out of the West. They do have to play Florida on the road. But they would be my sleeper pick in the East this year because they're under the radar. It's a place they haven't been last year. Georgia's my pick for second. When I look at Georgia, I do see Jacob Eason, who's going to be pushed by Jake Fromm at the QB spot. They've got Chubb and Michelle at running back. Defense has got 10 starters back. That makes them dangerous. But look at their schedule. They have to play Tennessee on the road, Florida in the swamp. They also have to play Auburn on the road this year. Non-conference, they have to play Notre Dame, Georgia Tech on the road. I think they slip up in a couple of places this year. And I'm going with the Gators to repeat. And I think this might be the best Florida team they've put on the field in recent years. Yes, they lose some talent on the defensive side of the ball, but much like Tennessee, their defense got banged up last year. That's why they gave up the 31 points to Florida State and the 54 to Alabama. And that got a lot of young guys some experience. A guy like Jabari Zuniga on the defensive end spot, I think, comes in and becomes a star along with C.C. Jefferson at the other defensive end spot. They're still loaded in the secondary. And offensively, it's the best offense I've seen out of Florida in years. And keep in mind, they've lost their starting quarterback early to injury each of the last 2 years. If they can keep the guy upright, whether it's Franks, whether it's Zaire, and I'm not discounting Luke Del Rio 100% either, because he was pretty good as a starter until he got injured last year. This is going to be a better Florida offense. The thing I really like about Florida this year is the schedule. Remember when they lost that LSU home game last year? Well, guess what? They get that game at home this year as opposed to playing it on the road. That's why LSU's playing 5 SEC road games. So Florida's 3 road games this year: at Kentucky, at Missouri, at South Carolina. Now, they do have to play Georgia and Jacksonville, but I think they have the talent to win that, and they've won the last 3 in that series. And when they play Michigan in the opening game of the season, Michigan's one of the least experienced teams in the country playing their first game. That's when you want to catch an inexperienced team. I think Florida has a shot at being favored in all 12 of their games this year. The Florida State game, the biggest question mark when they play them at home at the end of the year.
Yeah, that Florida-Michigan look-ahead line has been about 3 for Michigan from what I've seen. You think that could come down or maybe even turn over by the time the money starts rolling in on it?
I do think it was. Plus 3.5 right now out there at the South Point in Vegas. And generally, Tom, my magazine does have a little bit of pull around the country. So yeah. Remember last year, my number one surprise team was the Washington Huskies, and they went from 7-6 and made the playoffs. This year, my number one surprise team in the country is the Florida Gators. So I got a feeling that game's going to be probably picked by game time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's move to the West. Phil Steele with us. Of course, Phil Steele's College Football Preview rolling out. As we speak, you're going to start seeing the magazine come around, and folks can get the online version now, right, Phil?
Yeah, you can actually download it, and not only to your iPhone or your Android device, you can actually download it to your computer. So, I mean, it's really a neat thing to get. And if you go to philsteele.com, it gives you complete information of how to download the magazine. You can have it. You'll be reading the magazine in the next 5 to 10 minutes by doing it that way.
I'm still a page turner. I mean, does that make does it get off my long guy? I mean, I'm still a page turner. I want it in my fingers. I want to be able to flip the pages. I want to dog ear it. I want to use all of these sticky notes that I put in there for each team in the SEC and the Big Ten and ones that I'm talking about, ACC and so on. So I still got to have the paper, Phil.
Yeah, you got to mark that puppy up. If you are a page turner, Tom, when you put it on your computer and you got it big like that, it actually looks like you're turning the page when you flip the pages. But I agree with you 100%. You got to circle the players that are gone, mark it up, make your notes, and by the end of the year, that thing's all dog-eared and ready for retirement.
I know you're right, and I keep them, by the way, and my sons love them. It's cool, and I keep the old ones. I'm that way. I'm a little bit of a hoarder when it comes to that kind of stuff. But I got a shelf over there in the studio that has all the old Phil Steele's because I like to try and catch it. You know, I like to go back and see where Phil screwed up. But year in and year out, you're right on the money, it seems like, in terms of your end-of-the-year predictions and your what the top 25 is going to look like and then what it'll look like when it comes time for the playoff.
Well, I appreciate that, Tom. Put a lot of hard work into it. A good 6 months goes into producing the magazine each and every year. And then it's always good to get compliments like that.
Yeah. All right, in the West, speaking of look-ahead lines, Iron Bowl – last year, the look-ahead line from the South Point, I think, was 18 points. The game was 18 points. It was like, 30-12 or something. It was right on the money. This year, at Auburn, look-ahead line's 3.5 points. Has there been a 2-touchdown difference here in where Alabama is and where Auburn is?
Well, the biggest difference is probably at the quarterback play for Auburn coming into the season. And you look at Jared Stidham coming in. Now, do keep in mind, 2 years ago, there was a lot of hype on Jeremy Johnson for Auburn. Here's a guy, Heisman winner, best quarterback in the SEC, and things didn't pan out so well. But I do like what Jared Stidham brings to the table. He had some starting experience at Baylor. Great passer. He's got Petway and Johnson in the backfield. They also have a top-notch defense. In fact, when I look at Auburn, they've got my number 10-rated defensive line, number 14 linebackers, and number 11 DBs in the country. Solid on special teams at number 7. And last year at 1 point, remember Auburn was just blowing teams out. They beat Arkansas 56-3, Mississippi State by 24. They went into Ole Miss and won by 11. They were regarded as one of the top teams. They moved all the way up to number 8 after being unranked prior to last season. So I think that's part of the reason that Auburn was down there. Auburn got banged up down the stretch. They were hurting at quarterback when they played Alabama, hurting a little bit on the defensive side of the ball. But when you look at Alabama's schedule this year, if there's one game besides Florida State in the opener where you would say, hey, maybe they have a shot at losing it, it's got to be the Iron Bowl against Auburn. And that's, being a rivalry game, that's big as well.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Now, Vegas has Auburn as the second favorite, if you will, in the West. But the SIDs in the SEC put LSU there. What do you think about Ed Orgeron, his first full season as head coach there, and LSU with Darius Geis, an outstanding running back? Obviously, you like Etling. A lot of guys down here, not huge fans of him. But, what do you think about LSU or Auburn as the ones that could take a run at Alabama?
I think Auburn has the best shot this year. And, one of the things I look at is last year LSU did all that wrangling to get themselves that home game against Florida. And really, it didn't matter. They had already lost to Alabama. They weren't going to win the West last year, but they got that game at home and ended up losing it to Florida. Well, now they got to pay the price. How about 5 SEC road games? I mean, they're playing Florida, Alabama, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Mississippi State all on the road this year. Tom, you ever recall a team playing 5 SEC road games?
No. No, it wouldn't happen. Yeah,
I don't think it's ever happened before. So here they are playing 5 SEC road games. They've got talent, no doubt. You look at the running backs. They've got one of the best set of running backs in the country led by Geisman, number 4-rated offensive line. All three units on defense rank in my top 14. Special teams is solid. I just don't like that road schedule. So I went with Auburn second in the West. I'm going to agree with what Vegas has there. They've got 15 returning starters. I think they're going to be improved on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, Stidham, that's going to make a big difference. They do have to play LSU on the road. And they've lost, I believe, the last seven in Death Valley, so that's going to be difficult. They have to play Clemson on the road. Clemson's going to be much better than people think coming in. In fact, Auburn's a seven-point underdog in that game. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the game against Alabama at home. But if anybody's going to knock off Alabama in the West this year, I believe Auburn's going to be that team.
Full steel with us. Everybody's looking for somebody other than Jalen Hurts, you know, as the top quarterbacks when you rank them. I've seen him push down as far as four. I've seen others say that he's the preseason number one SEC quarterback. He's the defending player of the year in the SEC. Is Jalen Hurts going to be a better quarterback, do you think, in 2017 than he was in 2016?
Yeah, well, generally what happens is almost when I look at quarterbacks, even four-year starting quarterbacks, you look for the year of their biggest improvement. It's from year one to year two, because that first year you're learning how to read defenses, you're younger, there's a lot of things going on, and generally when you get to that second year, you show a lot of improvement. Now, Jalen Hurts, down the stretch, I mean, he was quite ineffective for Alabama in the last couple of games, but I think when you look at Hurts, now he's got the experience. He's got a veteran offensive line in front of him. He's got the best set of running backs in the country to hand off to. He's got my number five set of receivers. So the surrounding talent clearly there. The benefit of the experience is going to be big. Improved quarterback in Jalen Hurts this year, and I do have him first-team SEC.
All right, outside the league just for a moment, your take on the Bob Stoops deal. I mean, that happened after you went to press, and do you think that it's exactly what everybody is saying, or do you think there's something else going on here we're going to start learning stuff about?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I talk to Coach Stoops every year during the summer, but naturally I hadn't talked to him yet this year, and doesn't look like I'm going to, so I don't have any inside information on that. I respect Coach Stoops enough to I'd just say that we'll take him at his word for what he's saying here. But I think as far as what happens to Oklahoma without Bob Stoops, with the timing of it, I love it. Because, you know, he got him through the spring practice. Coordinators are in place with Lincoln Riley, who now, of course, also the head man. They've got Mike Stoops on the defensive side of the ball. And then you look at the talent. Baker Mayfield, my number one offensive line in the country. And a lot of talent on the defensive side. They got some players over there like cornerback Jordan Thomas. And I think they're going to be an improved defense. And when you factor in their schedule, they'll be an underdog at Ohio State, but they'll probably be favored in all the rest of their games this year. So I don't think Oklahoma's going to miss a beat this year without Bob Stoops. And I'll tell you a little story about Lincoln Riley. It was about 3 years ago, Gil Brandt called me up. He says, "You want to know one of the best young up-and-coming coaches? It's Lincoln Riley." And then sure enough, that summer he got a job at Oklahoma as the offensive coordinator. And he's definitely a coach that's on the rise.
You got an all-blue blood Final Four, USC, Florida State, Ohio State, Alabama. A lot of people thought Alabama and USC last year could be a little bit of a preview of a playoff game. Now it's Alabama and Florida State as a preview of a potential national championship game, if you will. What are the chances those two teams are hooking up again in January?
There's a good shot, but I didn't call for it. Florida State's overall schedule, of the four teams you mentioned, Tom, I think that Alabama, Ohio State, and USC have an excellent shot at being favored in all 12 of their games this year. But Florida State, of the four teams, has got the toughest schedule to get there. I mean, they play Alabama in the opener, and yeah, they could lose to Alabama and easily make the playoffs. In fact, you expect that. The loser of this game could still easily make the playoffs. But they do have to play Clemson on the road, and they do have to play Florida on the road this year, both within a three-week stretch. So it's going to be probably the most difficult schedule of those four teams to get there is Florida State, and that had me keeping from calling them for getting back to playing Alabama again.
All right, Phil Still's college football preview. It's out. It's coming out. You can get it now at philstill.com. Go there, check it out. It's more information than you can possibly stand. If you're looking for, you know, a breakdown on who's got the best sideline food or cheerleaders, you're not going to find it at Phil Still's. What you're going to find is who's got all the best units in college football and who the best teams are, and that's why I love the guy. Phil, I appreciate you as always, man.
Hey, always a lot of fun talking to you, Tom, and look forward to doing it again this football season. Have a great summer, my friend.
All right, man, you too. Phil Still, yeah, we'll have him back certainly coming up before September. All right, we'll get a break in here. We'll come back with more right after this. It's the Tom Abraham Show, 730, 1039, The Elm.
Wipe your paws. It's time to enter the doghouse.
record. I can tell you that right now. Part of this bet that I lost. Well, not only did I have to take those guys to lunch, which I did at Dreamland today, I also had to do my show from the studio in Athens, which I don't know why that's such a big deal. I mean, I'm just totally enjoying hanging out in the studio here. It's not something I would do all the time. If I lived anywhere near here, it would maybe be different, maybe not. Then the other part of it was I had to use Cole's rap bump music. Arky kept just adding stuff on. At one point in time, I was supposed to wear an Auburn hat to lunch. Apparently, that thing didn't happen. But it just, Arky was just like, every round of the NCAA playoffs, he would add another thing, another layer to this deal. So I apologize ahead of time for the music. Okay? I'm apologizing. Unless you like it, then I'm, you know, good for you. If you want to react to that, react to it at the Twitter page, you can do that. At Tom Abraham Show. The other thing you can react to at the Twitter page is the Nashville Predators' new jerseys have been leaked. They look like they were leaked on. A lot of yellow. A lot less blue. I can tell you right now, not a fan. Don't like the new one. Cream is putting it up at the... It's up. Did you put it up with the one that's like side by each with the old one? Okay, perfect. Maybe we even turn that into a poll question. You like the old one or the new one better? Old or new? Put up a poll question, Cream. Why not? Do you like the old one or the new one? All right, coming up next, Kevin Rogers will join us from Vegas Insider right here on the Tom Abraham Show. 730-1039. Yep.
.  730 and 103.9 The Ump. More sports.